5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Now you know that guy ain't shit. Sorry ass motherfucker got nothing on me, right? Nothing.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
I am Big Kev.
Why do they call you Big Kev?
Ooh. I am OG.
Oh look, he's got a billion toys.
I am PK.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
OG's not actually racist against many people.
There is no racial bigotry here. Here you are all equally worthless.
I'm not really angry all the time.
This is Kevin destroying the Toy Beast Legends box set.
Fucking garbage! Why? Why?
You know how I know that you're gay?
How? Because you're gay and you can tell who other gay people are?
Curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Well, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello, you.
It's good to be doing a show.
Yeah.
We'll start with that.
See, now I had to go away for a little while to do a little thing.
You did?
But you know, I had to go away for a little while to do a thing.
Listen, sometimes life happens. And sometimes adulting is necessary.
Yeah.
And as a result, sometimes things like this podcast, take a break.
It happens. I kind of feel, I don't know if I want to say honored, but I'm kind of, you know, it's not so bad that I didn't miss really anything.
No, you missed two shows. You missed the post New York Comic Con wrap up and you missed me bumble, stumble and fumble for about 35 minutes by myself a couple weeks back.
It wasn't really fumbling. I did a bumble or a stumbler. Hey, Kev, what do you think? Well, we couldn't come back full force, could we?
Deja vu. yes, Kevin is still adulting, but that's okay. I did speak to him. He is alive, so he's got that going for him.
Well, yeah, okay, which is nice.
So hopefully he will be back next week, and then we take off for the rest of the year for our Christmas. No. So
we're really stretching it out to get to that
really,
that big anniversary gig, and
we're
the,
really trying to line up 10 years and 400.
Magic
really
400
is what it is. We're just going to just keep stumbling until it happens. But we are here. This is episode 392, and I don't have a title for this one. I didn't think of a witty title. We're gonna have to go on the fly.
I have no idea.
All right. So we're going to call this episode 392, I Have No Idea.
That's
there
perfect.
There you go. And that sums it up, really, to be quite honest with you.
No idea.
This show is going to be a bit it's not going to be disorganized, but it's going to be a slightly discombobulated because some of the things we're going to talk about are going to be a little older because we haven't been here.
Right.
And some of the things are going to be current. And we're going to hit on some things that we wanted to talk about but didn't get a chance to, i.e. VR.
Right.
And I think we'll just kind of move forward and roll into it, yeah?
Yeah, what the hell?
Let's start very quickly. I like to start with voicemails when we have them. But unfortunately, CMonkey67 left us a voicemail, and he was calling from a phone that was made out of granite and cinder blocks because it sounded like crumbling bricks.
He used a twine instead of the really good string to connect those cans.
He did. It was, yeah. It was shitty twine and old Chef Boyardee cans. So, unfortunately, CMonkey67, we cannot play your voicemail. But I will say that I agree with what you said. And a lot of people on the internet agree with you as well. And this is in regards to The Flash.
Okay.
I know that you're not watching The Flash. Are you going to be watching The Flash at
some
point?
I think it's something I will pick up at some point down the line. I don't know that if I'm going to collect the whole CW-DC universe and watch Arrow.
Sure.
I couldn't get into Arrow, and I just don't know if it'll have anything for me. But, yeah, I'm happy to get in on The Flash. What did I just tap there? Hold on a second. Let me still there? Yeah, we're good. Okay. All right. Sorry.
No worries. So unfortunately I'm going to spoil something for you a little bit, but not really, because this isn't confirmed. This is really conjecture at this point.
Okay.
But after the last couple of episodes of The Flash this season, of course, the big bad is Zoom this season. People are starting to really think that Henry Allen, which is Barry Allen's dad, played by John Wesley Shipp.
Which is perfect.
Which is amazing. Yep. You know, and even looking at him, he really kind of looks a little like Grant Gustin, too. It really kind of works on a lot of levels.
Nice.
The thought that's going out there right now is that Henry Allen from Earth 2 is Zoom, the big bad for season 2 of The Flash.
Meaning we're going to see John Wesley Shipp get into some superhero action.
Get into the suit. Or a suit at some point.
That's pretty fantastic. That's enough to make me want to get into this one.
Right. So we've actually seen someone in the suit. Mm. But, of course, he is yet to be unmasked. But at some point in time, he'll be unmasked. And hopefully it's John Wesley Shipp. I would totally be okay with that.
Awesome.
That show is really good week after week. This last week's episode had the return of Gorilla Grodd, which is so ridiculous when you think about what it is, but it works really well on that show. And
it embraces sort of from what I hear, or what I can glean from it, it seems like it embraces a campy angle with comfort or more the lightness of the material, it seems. Yeah.
You know, I've never been a huge Flash fan in general. I don't hate him. He just is never one of those characters that I gravitated towards naturally. But the little that I know, and from talking to other people that were big fans, The Flash has kind of always been a little bit part of the lighter side of the DC universe. And so the show is really embracing that. And
nice.
It's the opposite of Arrow, which is kind of the bit more dark and brooding side of the DC universe.
A little too dark and brooding from what some people that detract from the show for me have been saying.
Well, you know, Oliver Queen at some point in time kind of becomes a bit more like Tony Stark. he goes through a lot of dark stuff, and it goes through some really serious stuff, but he also becomes a little bit sillier and a little bit, I don't want to say sillier, but he definitely becomes a little bit more lighthearted at some point in time, and almost embraces the ridiculousness of what he is, which is Robin Hood, essentially.
Yeah.
Running around fighting supervillains with no real powers. I mean, he's just an archer, a terribly skilled archer, but he's an archer.
Right.
He's the Hawkeye of the DCU. So that being said, I think they're going to get there, but they're not there yet. So the two work well against each other in that regards, and it does help flesh out the entire universe.
Now, let me ask you this. If I do take on The Flash, which I probably will at some point, it's pretty accessible, am I missing something by not going side by side with Arrow?
Honestly, no, except for maybe the crossover episodes.
Right. And if the second part to that question, when it comes time for those crossover episodes, can I just watch the crossover episode of Arrow and be satisfied with that, do you think? Or will I?
Yeah, I would think so. Okay. I would think so. I mean, it's nice to watch both of them side by side, because things that happen in one do affect the things that happen in the other.
Right.
But not so much outside of the crossovers, where the two are not complete, are not inseparable.
Gotcha.
If you want to just watch one, you could.
I mean, thinking overall time investment, too.
Of course, this is
a lot of goddamn TV to watch, for God's sake. Who knows if I'll ever get to it anyway, but yeah, I want to try to streamline it and make it efficient as well.
If you decide to jump into Arrow, skip season one. For you personally, skip season one if you want to. I mean, I liked season one. There's a lot of buildup and there's a lot of backstory. You could probably read a synopsis for season one on Wiki. But season two is really good. Like, the story is really good. The action is really good. Season three was a departure from season two and season one. Each season has been a little bit different. And
right.
The theme has been a little bit different. And then season four is off to a pretty good start as well. So I could say if you wanted to skip season one, you could. Of course, the good thing about Arrow right now is that at least one episode so far, we've gotten the return of John Constantine.
Right.
Which was great. He fit in so perfect.
Nice.
And I hope that he has a future on that network, whether it's his own show, because I'd love to see the return of the show, or he just becomes a regular in what will soon be the three CW DC-based right. shows.
The demand's so high. I mean, they got to give him a shot, even if they give him throw a miniseries out there or some sort of tie-in movie or God knows what.
And where the universe is going right now, he would fit in so easily because they're starting to really tackle that kind of weird mysticism, magic, sort of less grounded in reality aspects right. of the DC universe.
Now, the Constantine, it's the same Constantine from the NBC show.
Absolutely.
Is it the same continuity from the NBC show? Or is that owned by NBC and doesn't cross over?
So my understanding is that NBC relinquished the rights back to the creators. Because if you remember for a while, or maybe you don't remember, but some of you may remember, for a while, the creators were shopping the show.
Right.
They were trying to find a new home for it because NBC kind of recognized that there was a demand for it. The fans wanted the show. They just didn't think that they were the home for it.
Right.
Which is a shame because I think it actually was pretty good on NBC. But so I think the creators have the rights. That being said, in the episode of Arrow that he appears in so far, the one he has appeared in so far, there's nothing really to tie back
gotcha.
To the show. It's really just
– more, hi, I'm here.
Yeah. 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 Like they introduce him in one of the Arrow flashbacks. So they establish a relationship with Oliver, and then they bring him into the present and reestablish that connection.
Gotcha. Okay.
And so clearly he's still knocking about – doing his thing. And so could they reference it? Honestly, I don't think there's a need to reference what happened on that show.
Clean slate, but it's there if they need it.
But it's there if they need it.
Right. Well, I'm so sorry. I kind of diverged you off of the path there with the voicemail.
No, that's fine. Look, I mean, you know what? The DC universe is something that's talked about an awful lot, both online and on the context of the show. And so I know we have a lot of fans that listen to it, and I know that we normally hate everything about the movie universe, so we might as well spend a little bit of time talking about the TV universe.
Sounds like a plan.
But since we brought up the movie universe,
right?
I almost was going to skip this story, but I have something, unless you have something.
Which story?
I was going to go to the Ezra Miller explains the Flash thing.
I don't even know what that is.
So Ezra Miller was cast as Barry Allen in the DC cinematic universe.
Oh, okay.
The same character that Grant Gustin is playing right. on the TV universe. Why DC decided to do this is anybody's guess. Why not just use your established characters and create a connected universe? You know, a formula that actually works. But instead, they've decided to recast them. And Ezra Miller kind of, in an interview, tried to describe how he was going to be different than the TV version.
Oh, boy.
And
Ezra Miller, this is – we need to talk about Kevin Ezra Miller, I think, right? Same actor?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
And so his response isn't bad. It's just – well, no, it's bad. But it's not like – it's not insulting. It's really just douchey and stupid and filled with probably way more ego than he deserves. So I'm going to read it and you can opine yourself. He says, well, first, it's going to be a movie. Well, no shit, Sherlock.
Oh, boy.
That's one of the differences he wanted to point out, that it's going to be a movie.
Thanks for that.
I'd like for it to be an exploration of a human being, a multi-dimension human being to speak. Of course, at this point in the interview, he kind of chuckles to himself. Wow, I just made such a pun without meaning to. Because he's referencing, of course, the multiverse and parallel dimensions, etc. He said, I'd like the character to have many dimensions, but really, I'd like him to have the usual dimensions we know and love, and then some extra ones that are part of the amazing consideration of this superhero. I hope to realize him as a person, and I think what's most exciting for me in superhero mythologies is when we feel the humanity of someone who is heroic or the heroism of someone who is flawed, deeply human person.
I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
That's how I opine on that.
First of all, it makes no sense. There's no discernible logic or cohesive thought pattern to any of those words. He must have been. And not only that, but how does that differ for the TV version? What I expected him to say was...
Not remotely.
Right. I expect him to say, like, well, the TV version is kind of campy, and I'm going to play Barry Allen as his, like, brooding, deep, dark...
We're going to be dark, just like the rest of the dark DC universe. Dark, dark, darkity dark, and no jokes. And...
Right. And that would be like, oh, okay, that is a difference. Yeah. No, I'm going to play him as a superhero who's also a human... Good on you.
Congratulations
who
there.
Is multiple dimensions because he's a superhero who's trying to hide his identity because he's a superhero is what he just said.
Right. So he's playing every superhero mostly ever.
Right. It really, in a nutshell, he said, I'm playing a superhero. So good on you, Ezra Miller.
Okay, buddy.
My confidence is boosted.
All right. What's something good to talk about in this mix?
Well, we could talk about some trailers. You want to talk about some trailers?
Sure.
Warcraft. Did you see the Warcraft trailer?
I did see the Warcraft trailer.
There were two. Mm-hmm. There was the main trailer and then a TV spot. The TV spot really didn't give us a lot more, bit more, but nothing significant. However, the trailer brought me on board fully. I was like, yep, I'm on board.
It looks really impressive. And I know you mentioned it regarding your moonlighting gig in the last – your little solo episode. But the VR experience as well that Legendary's app had, fantastic.
Yep.
Like the world looks great. Of course it's going to be digital. And everybody immediately was like, well, The Hobbit. It looks just like The Hobbit. It's a video game. Well, it's based on a video game. I got news for you, chap. It's based on a video game. So, I mean, just – can we just wait and see what kind of story we get, what kind of acting we get? And listen, the CG, it's CG, but it was still fairly impressive.
I thought the orcs looked fantastic. Yeah. I mean,
nothing really leaped out as terrible. A couple things looked like, you know, not, I don't want to say unfinished, but maybe a little unpolished seeming, but overall it looked really good. And it's got a tone and a story that I'm interested in finding out about. Like,
and
whatever.
And Blizzard has always been good at telling a story. Even if you don't like their games, the story behind the games have always been really good, at least in my opinion. And I think this is just a fleshing out of a history that is it 30 years, 30 plus years at this point? If you go back to the very first Warcraft game, which was an RTS.
No, it can't be that far back, can it?
Not 30 years. 20 years?
I mean, it's
years?
At least 20.
20 years, maybe?
Definitely 20. But yeah, I don't think as much as 30.
All right. So 20 years.
That would have meant I would have been,
seven or eight or well, I would, yeah.
Yeah. Let's, yeah. Seven. Let's,
seven
let's go with
yeah,
seven.
Let's go with seven.
Seven sounds good.
Okay. So not 30, but 20 years, I think probably.
Yeah.
I also saw some people talking about, oh, well, there's so many rich character types in the World of Warcraft universe, World of Warcraft universe. Why is a movie called Warcraft only featuring on the two characters that originally appeared in the game Warcraft, which was called Orcs and Humans, because it was Warcraft and not World of Warcraft.
Right.
They're developing a world, people. You gotta baby steps. Otherwise, we have Riddler, Bane, Poison Ivy, Mr.
Exactly.
Freeze, and Penguins with Rockets
Everybody
on their back.
Everybody wants everything all at once. Can we show a little patience?
Just a little.
There's one driving force in this movie that the thing that has had me interested in seeing this no matter what is Duncan Jones.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in good hands, people.
Absolutely. I mean, you couldn't have found someone who I think is probably perfect for the job, more perfect than he is.
Yeah. And he's a great storyteller, and he's got his genuine passion for the material. It's in good hands.
And the cast isn't like community theater either. Like,
nope.
The cast has got some solid actors in
there was the potential for, you know, fan film level kind of stuff going on here, and they've got some chop-laden people in this.
Look, they've taken their sweet time, and I think that it shows, at least from what I've seen in the trailer, I think that it shows that they're taking the time and they're not rushing the project, and hopefully that leads to a good movie. That's all.
I agree.
All right. Episode 7, the international trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see it?
I did see that one.
Okay.
Yes.
So we could talk about that at least briefly. There was some new footage in there.
Yes.
I didn't think it was quite as much as there was, but there's a lot of new footage in there. And I don't want to talk about it ad nauseum. Everybody knows what it is at this point. I just want to say that my confidence has still not been shaken in the movie. Everything
not
I've
at
seen
all.
Thus far continues to make me believe that it's going to be a great film in the franchise and that it's in the right hands.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. There's nothing I can add to that other than I agree. Also, and Kylo is not Luke. Stop it.
Kylo is so not Luke.
Stop it.
We have seen him unmasked. We have seen his face unmasked. We have seen his hair unmasked. We have seen him unmasked, people.
I will. The one thing I will grant is perhaps Kylo is a stray apprentice of Luke or relative, you know, be it son or something along the line. But
I will give you.
He's not Luke.
I will give
he's
you.
Not Jar Jar. Stop it.
Oh, God, please. No, I will give you apprentice. Apprentice is a very good alternate possibility.
Yep.
Absolutely agree with that. We did see some new images as well in EW this past week. I think the most important image out of that new image dump, as far as I was concerned, was that scene between Finn and Kylo in the woods where Finn ignites the saber. The one that we've been talking about on this show for
months.
Rey is there as well in that battle.
Oh.
He is not – Finn is not alone. There is a pulled out still that was in the EW this past week, and Rey is standing right next to Finn in that still.
And considering the layout of the where they are, that scene where she's crying and looking up at the light, and we don't know what she's crying over.
Yeah.
We have some speculation what that's all about, which I'm shutting up about. But I'm wondering if that is all tied to the same scene as well. Because it looks kind of a dark and snowy-ish kind of
scene. It definitely looks like it's the same planet, at minimum, I would think. While we're talking about Kylo, the Star Wars launch bay exhibit launched this past week in Disneyland, which is part of – it's the beginning part of the push for the upgrades that are to come.
Right.
They did the premiere of like Hyperspace Mountain, for example.
Which one of our pals got to ride on, that son of a bitch.
I hope I get to ride it in Disney World when I go.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that it's there. And I think they also had the tack on to Star Tours, which was a new snippet of film that somehow involves Episode 7, although I don't know what it is yet.
Yeah.
And then they had the Launch Bay exhibit, which was a bunch of props and armor, etc.
Like costumes galore, too, right?
And it's a whole walkthrough with plaques and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
It looked great. I mean, again, I hope I get to see something similar.
Great photos came out of that, too. I was all throughout Instagram and what have you and Twitter.
Yeah. The most telling of those photos, as far as I'm concerned, was the description of Kylo Ren's lightsaber.
Yes.
Which makes total sense.
Yeah.
And it really, I hope it shuts up some more of the naysayers. So I'm going to just read the description really quick. Kylo Ren's unusual lightsaber is an ancient design. Although the one he carries is recently constructed, the crossguard blades, or
Quillions,
are raw power vented from the primary central blade. Of course it's an ancient design, much like an ancient broadsword would be, as opposed to a much more modern saber would be, right? Sabers don't have crossguards, correct? Or they have a much smaller one, right?
Yeah, you have the
they have a pommel.
Cover over the hands.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the pommel is the like the little butt cap there that holds everything screwed together and current weapons.
But yeah, it looks like a broadsword.
Yeah. I have dug it since the first time we saw him ignite that thing up in the very, very first trailer.
Absolutely.
It's something unique, and certainly I see the pitfalls of it, but that's what I'm eager to see is how he gets around that shit, how he doesn't chop his own hand off, you know, in a weird little twirl.
And it answers the question about crystals, too, because there was all that talk about, is it separate crystals? Is it a separate ignition? Blah, blah, blah. No, it's
a fucking vent.
It's vented. Duh. It makes total sense.
Yep.
So there you go. I think we can move away from Episode 7 unless there's anything else you want to fit on.
I can't think of nothing.
We brought up VR, so we might as well tackle that.
Yeah. You talked about it a little bit. So you got to play with Google Cardboard.
I did.
At the moonlighting gig. So that's essentially what started me on the path with the whole VR thing in the first place. I bought a ViewMaster, which is for those of you that remember and for those of you that don't, ViewMaster was one of my favorite toys as a kid.
Oh, I loved it.
And you had these little white discs that you popped into a little slot on the top of the thing, and you looked through these little my ViewMaster was frequently used as a going back to Star Wars a second, as Star Wars binoculars and whatnot, you know, area scanners and all that. But anyway, you know, you'd look through this little viewer and you'd have 3D images from all sorts of crazy things. For me, my ViewMaster experience was I messed around with my dad's ViewMaster from when he was a kid, and it's been around since like the 40s, you know, and he had stuff from the 40s and 50s and all that. And I would go through his and endlessly and for hours and hours click through all these things, and most of the stuff was largely like scenic kind of stuff. Hey, here's Yellowstone National Park and so on and so forth. He had some cartoon stuff like a Bugs Bunny one and the Sam Sawyer character that they had.
I think I had
20,000 Leagues.
Mutual of Omaha ones. like National Geographic, like here's an ape, here's a lion, like nice. That kind of stuff. But yeah.
So it was great. I loved this thing as a kid, and I spent hours looking at these things. So I'm in Target. This goes back now a month or more ago, and it might have been around Halloween, because I was getting costume pieces. Yeah, and I said, well, let me go stop by the tech stuff and the games and see what's new over there. See what kind of new Disney Infinity stuff is out that I'm refusing to buy because. Money.
Yes.
And I round the corner and there's this big display with all these things that say Viewmaster on it. I go, oh, what's this? Viewmaster's back. That's cool. And then I see a little deeper, Viewmaster virtual reality. And they have these little, the Viewmaster cartridges aren't cartridges you slide in the thing anymore, but these little discs that have, the various apps for the what they have now, which involves there's a space one, there's a scenic destinations one, which brings you to, poke around England at the Tower Bridge and all that, and Ellis Island, etc. And there's a wildlife one which I haven't checked out yet. So I bought it instantly.
Of course.
Yeah. There was pretty much zero hesitation. And I got that thing home and was playing around and enjoying the Viewmaster thing, and sure enough, it's you're fully immersed. You put the viewer up there. Your phone goes into the device.
Right.
And you have the apps as well for Viewmaster, and you have all these different things, and it's just like Viewmasters of old. It's got a lot of learning aspects to it. I keep hitting that damn cable. Sorry, everybody. So a lot of learning aspects to it. Like the Ellis Island tour is pretty fantastic, and they're actual like 360 photos that you're able to look all around your environment. So I'm like, this is a really cool thing. Viewmaster's awesome. And then I happened to glimpse, I don't know if it was an article when I was trying to read up more about Viewmaster. Maybe I saw it on the box, but then I saw it compatible with Google Cardboard. And I went, what's that all about? And, I dug around a little bit deeper and said, well, it turns out the Viewmaster is compatible with Google Cardboard in that it can operate as a Google fucking Cardboard device.
Yep.
And I went, okay, and I downloaded Google Cardboard. And then that led me to other apps. And then that led me to Verse, at VRSE, which is my number one favorite content provider for VR stuff as of right now.
Okay.
And I'll get into them. But, I became obsessed with all this stuff and spent hours and downloaded all kinds of different things. And it's there's a lot of shit out there. A lot of the roller coaster apps are just nausea inducing bullshit. There's a couple roller coaster ones that are actually really cool. So it depends on which one. You got to kind of sort the wheat from the chaff. There's movie ones that are great, too. There's there was one for Insidious that was a nice little horror experience, and there was one for Divergent as well, which I discovered. So it's more and more movies seem to be embracing this as a tool for. And there's the Legendary app, which gives you stuff about Crimson Peak.
Right,
there's
right.
A Pacific Rim experience that puts you in nice. The Gypsy Danger as it's getting torn apart, and what's his name, Yancey's getting yanked out of it in the movie. It puts you in that moment, and it's fantastic. So there's so much more out there than I ever had any idea existed. And I think we all kind of, when we talked about it for Ready Player One on, was it iPad Carrie's email?
Right.
We all kind of were like, I don't know if he's going to do it. They probably won't bother. Who cares about VR anymore? It was kind of a meh. And I completely changed that tune. I think I even said in my voicemail last week,
yep.
if they don't exploit the VR technology for the Ready Player One film, somebody's got to get fucking fired.
Yeah.
Because there's so much great material out there.
Well, everybody is on board it now. I mean, even Lucas is developing something very specific
yep.
for Oculus,
yep, yep.
With the Star Wars universe. I mean, it's, I know. It's
like, VR X-Wing. Can we get a VR X-Wing simulator, please?
Yes, please. I'd love VR Jurassic Park, to be quite honest with you, being the Jeep.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Must go faster.
So yeah, VR definitely. And I feel like it's all within like the last year and a half. Like it
pretty much like Oculus came around and I saw the price point on them. Like, no one's going to touch that.
Yep.
Forget it. And then a little $15 piece of cardboard came around and blew the whole fucking thing wide open.
Well, that's really what it is. I think now that there are devices that are, price friendly, content providers are eager to create for it because they know almost everybody, I mean, not everybody, but almost everybody has $15 if they want it.
Right.
To get. And Google had all sorts of promotions where they were giving them out.
They were giving them away. There's actually I don't know where I found it. I'm going to throw myself under the bus because, you found it while searching for porn, Ken. But in looking for VR content, it's hilarious. Like some of the first shit that comes up is, hey, nasty VR porn. Hooray.
Yeah.
But there was actually one site that was giving Google Cardboards away if you subscribe to their friggin' their porn. So it's and I don't know why I was surprised when it came up. I'm like, of course there's VR porn.
Well, it's interesting because I think that
I'm impressed you actually got to that before me, actually, frankly.
And look, it wasn't entirely by my doing. I'm not saying I didn't look. I'm just saying it wasn't entirely my doing. No, I think that it's going to be really good for gaming, obviously.
Yeah.
It's going to be really good for the porn industry, obviously. I don't think you'll ever get full movie experiences in it because I don't think it makes sense.
Well, I think it, from cinematic experiences, they need to be kept relatively short. You can't.
Right.
I think a feature length film, you're gonna find yourself puking before long.
Not only that, but why if you're watching a feature length film, would you really want to take your focus off the focus of the film? Like, to me,
well, no, it's the cinematic approach to these is not so much watching movies. And there are apps where you can. It's like you're sitting in a movie theater and your movie's playing on a screen in front of you. It's novel, but it's not really a great way to watch a movie. The cinematic experiences, the immersive 360 degree experiences, that is where cinema in a VR world is going to be huge.
Right.
And storytelling and stuff like that. And that's where the Verse, who I was talking about before, they're already a beast in all of that. And I think they've really kind of set a very, very high standard for immersive 360 experiences. And I can go over a couple of those. We're half an hour in.
Yeah,
but,
go for it.
I mean, if you're playing with VR right now, I know there's some folks, since I've been talking about it on Twitter, that are getting their hands on either Google Cardboards or other kinds of headsets and more fancy headsets. I actually recently invested in a Zeiss VR1,
okay,
which is awesome. So, and which actually, because the ViewMaster you got to hold up, and same with Google Cardboard. The Zeiss actually straps onto your head. It's got a little port that you can put your headphones in and power your phone and all that and so on. So with Verse, they produce these amazing cinematic experiences it's just through the app and for really any headset, Google Cardboard, it's just virtual reality. They have a horror experience they just released called Catatonic.
Okay.
That's fantastic and deeply disturbing. The premise is you are strapped to a wheelchair.
Oh, right.
And basically you're being wheeled through this insane asylum and all kinds of shit happens all around you. And you know, wherever you look is just disturbing and nightmarish. I sat on my couch and my wife laughed at me the whole entire time, as I'm screaming and freaking out and jumping and what have you. And I knew from the little trailer that they had for it, that one guy was going to come from one direction and get right in my face. I'm like, you know what? I don't want to look at that. So I look to the right. What happens? Some asshole from the right comes flying in my face and I freak the hell out. It's a really cool experience. If you're not interested in shitting your pants, there's really great cinematic experience as well. There's short films. There's like a relationship drama short film, which takes advantage of the 3D sound aspect of it, where there's this couple that's walking out onto a beach and you're kind of hearing their thoughts. And then they split on the beach. So if you're looking at the girl, you're hearing her thoughts. And then you turn yourself 180 degrees around to look at the guy who's like checking out a boat and you hear his thoughts. And there's an interesting contrast between what the two of them think about the relationship.
Yeah.
So it's really wild how the 3D sound immersion is involved too. Fantastic. Bjork just put out a video. I'm not a big Bjork fan, but the premise of the video sounds pretty interesting as well. So there's a lot of music video action happening.
Okay.
U2's got a video on
Verse. I could see it really well for like live concerts and stuff like that. That would be awesome.
Muse has a produced music video for one of their songs off the new Drones album. Bjork has one as well. So that it's all building up on that front. And then there's some interesting documentary pieces. There's one about the guy who did the Walking Man photo thing in New York City, right by the Flatiron Building.
Uh-huh.
It was an installation, for those that don't know, of a huge picture, which you can only see from up above.
Right.
Of a walking man down in front of the Flatiron Building in New York City. And it's a nice little immersive sort of documentary about it, where you're essentially standing in his studio with him as he's talking to you, and you're looking around at the shit in his studio while he's telling you all about the project.
That's cool.
And it cuts to the whole process of the project, and eventually you find yourself, I think, in a helicopter or just kind of sitting outside of a building that's above this whole thing, and you're looking down up above this piece, and it's 3D, and you get a little vertigo actually from the height. So Verse is fantastic, and I'm not even touching on all of their content, and they're continually producing all kinds of great shit. So Verse is one to watch out for, and Jaunt is the other one. And they produce more lighthearted kind of stuff. They're not quite up to the quality that that Verse is producing, but very interesting, fun stuff. My favorite on there is they have you with Paul McCartney.
Nice.
He's playing Live and Let Die at a concert somewhere. And the thing starts, and the way I'm positioned, I'm like, I'm looking around, and I realize I'm looking at a crowd. And I'm like, the impression I had was like, well, this experience is going to be me looking at the stage at Paul McCartney in concert.
Right.
So I'm looking around. I'm like, I don't see the stage. I don't know what's going on. I hear Paul singing. And then I finally turn in the right direction, and Paul McCartney is 3 feet away from me, sitting at the piano playing Live and Let Fucking Die.
You're on the stage.
You're on the stage with Paul McCartney. Awesome. It's wild. The VR is crazy.
I didn't snip it for this week's show, but I did just read an article earlier this week that there's a company that is developing Dungeons and Dragons for VR tech.
What?
Now, not like World of Warcraft.
Right.
No, Dungeons and Dragons. And what I mean by that is what you're looking at, if you're in the program and you're immersed, is you're looking at a table
mm-hmm.
with avatars representing different players sitting around the table. And there were minis on the table with a map overlay.
Get the fuck out of here.
Right. And it's syncing with your computer as well. And it's running
right.
a computer as well. And you're playing virtual tabletop D&D. So you don't have to be together to play. You're playing together, but it's still tabletop. It's tabletop.
That is Oasis level shit already right there.
Absolutely. That's what I was thinking when I'm watching this. I'm like, this is the start of that. This is where that starts.
Yep. And there's talk. I was reading an article today that was put out by Verse, and the article highlighted their efforts in music and whatnot. And, there's a lot of talk about the future holds live streaming of certain kinds of events.
Sure.
So you can stream to a concert. It's wonderful what is to come and what is happening right now, but it's scary in a lot of ways too, because the Oasis and all that world represents, and that dystopia that is in Ready Player One, is not a pretty place to be. So it's you got the curse and a blessing thing going on here, and it's
a balance. It's going to be a human balance.
Yeah, and our yearning for excess. I don't know how well balanced it's going to be for a lot of people's lives.
Let's take a quick break. I think we have a game stuff during the break. We'll come back with a couple more stories, some products, some plugs, and then I think we'll bounce out. Does that sound good for you?
Sounds good to me, man.
All right. With that, we will take our first break, episode 392 of Geek Stuff. And we are calling this, I don't know.
I have no idea.
I have no idea. There you go.
Hey, everybody, this is John Benjamin, and you're listening to Game Stuff with Coke Logic.
Ahoy, hoy, welcome to Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. Han shoots first, then teabags Greedo. Star Wars Battlefront is out now for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. While it controls great and has jaw-dropping graphics, Battlefront is getting average reviews for its bare-bones experience. A handful of modes and a handful of maps, which will be great for the holiday season, but don't expect to see many people logging on come January. This doesn't make Battlefront a bad game, so don't feel bad about your holiday purchase. The experience you'll have now while the game is the new hot daddy is all that you should care about. Just try not to think about how an additional 16 maps are locked away behind their $50 season pass. Star Wars Battlefront is out now for $60 for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Speaking of Star Wars, PlayStation 4 also has Super Star Wars being sold on PSN. A difficult game on the Super Nintendo, but now has a save system which should make the game less frustrating. Super Star Wars is $10, which should have been $5, on PlayStation 4's PSN store. A correction from last week, I said that Tomb Raider, The Rise of the Tomb Raider, is a timed exclusive for the Xbox One until spring 2016. In actuality, it's a timed exclusive until holiday 2016, which sucks even more. Unless you have an Xbox One, in which case you should play it, as it's a really good game. Nintendo has announced Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess HD for the Nintendo Wii U, an enhanced port of the GameCube game, which was also ported to the Nintendo Wii, because it was one of the last games to come out for the GameCube shortly before the Wii launched. Which is fitting since Nintendo has released a date of March 2016, which means that window is shut tight for any expectations of getting a new Legend of Zelda for Wii U anytime soon. A game that many have speculated will bleed over into a Nintendo NX launch title, like Twilight Princess before it. So enjoy this HD port as you wait for a new Legend of Zelda. I'm sure that's how Nintendo looks at it. And finally... nope, that's it. You can now go back to playing Fallout 4. This is Coke Logic signing off for Game Stuff.
Build the Millennium Falcon. A one-to-one replica of the original Empire Strikes Back movie prop. Working lights and stunning interior detail. Complete with a moving ramp. Build the Millennium Falcon step by step with your comprehensive build guide, die-cast metal, and highly detailed resin parts. Call now or go online to buildmillenniumfalcon.com and get started today.
And we are back with Geek Stuff episode 392, and we're calling this one, I Have No Idea. Something we failed to do in segment one of tonight's show was give out the voicemail line.
That's right. The voicemail line, you gotta give me the cue.
Sorry, the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
And please don't call us on tin cans with twine. Please use a real phone.
At least up that to like some, I don't know, fishing line or something.
Yeah, it's a little more streamlined. It's something conducive. Mm. That's what I'm saying. All right. We have a couple more stories I want to hit and then some product. And then I think we're going to roll out for tonight. But this is all PK. As a matter of fact, when I read this article, I was like, I almost have no interest in this article other than I know you'll have interest in it. And so I brought it to the show. And
my ears are perked.
Matthew McConaughey is up for the lead role of the Gunslinger the Dark Tower adaptation that's coming. Now, I say I have no interest in it because I've never actually read the Dark Tower series.
You haven't?
No, I started the first book like 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And that's funny enough, that's when he started writing the damn thing.
And as a general rule, I have a love-hate relationship with Stephen King.
Yep.
I want to love him. Conceptually, I love him. But after reading his books, I traditionally want to just gouge my eyes out and commit ritualistic suicide. He's verbose.
He gets a little wordy. And wait, you started reading the first book?
Yeah.
Which is the tiniest book in the entire enormous saga of this man's life.
But for example, like I've tried to read The Stand mm-hmm. at least 20 times in my life, and I can't get past like the third or fourth chapter.
Stand is like, so good though, dude.
I know it is, and I want to do it, but I just at some point in time I'm just like, oh god, this isn't never gonna end. Just never gonna end.
It's daunting because you know what? You should put The Stand on a Kindle.
Yeah, where you're not because you're at not the thickness.
Yeah,
of the
you're
book.
Not wielding a dictionary size, you know, 900-pound book at that
right,
point.
Right.
That's what I recommend. The Stand is fantastic. I love The Stand.
You're a huge Dark Tower fan.
Yeah. 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 And I'm
so
torn.
How do you feel for McConaughey in that role?
I love him as an actor. And I think he's somebody that will devote his all to it and will pull it off to the best of his ability. I just don't know that he's right.
If you could cast somebody else in the role. I mean, you've thought about this for years in your own mind, I mean, I'm sure.
Yeah, and,
right?
And so, the time has come and gone for the various actors that we've had in mind over the past, you know, 20-plus years right. Since I've been watching this saga myself. Oh, my God. Yeah. That's over 20 years, I think, since I've read my first Dark Tower books. Maybe even more. Yikes. But I mean, you know, this is changed. I mean, initially it was like you would picture the initial picture was Clint Eastwood in the Spaghetti Western days. Like,
sure.
That's Roland.
Sure.
You know, so and that's the picture that tends to stick with me the most. But, you know, in recent years, I mean, there was talk of Javier Bardem, which I thought would be a fantastic choice.
Sure.
I think Jeffrey Dean Morgan was in the mix at one point. Also a fantastic choice. Viggo Mortensen was in the mix as well. That's Viggo.
Yikes.
Never mind.
Aragorn. It's Aragorn.
Aragorn. I've been watching Always Sunny lately. That's why it was so fresh in my head. So there've been a lot of really good choices, Matthew McConaughey now, I think there's potential there. If he gets it, he gets it. And I will embrace it. And I know I'm going to go see it. I'm not going to, you know, boycott it for Matthew McConaughey. Like some people are like, well, you know, that's not the Dark Tower. I'm not going to bother seeing it. give it a chance at least.
Yeah, look, I mean, Matthew McConaughey, I was always kind of weird about, but I liked him in, was it Dallas Buyers Club, right?
Yeah, his when he's serious,
right?
The man is a solid fucking performer.
I just don't know that. I don't know that he could play the little I know about Dark Tower and the Gunslinger. I just don't picture him as the roguish type, though.
Yeah, yeah, that's where I'm torn. What makes me think it's possible that he can do well with it is True Detective.
Right. Yes.
I think there's a certain air to that character in True Detective where he was a little spacey and kind of out there. And Roland has those moments where he's just kind of out there in his own head, while you know the rest of the quartet, his friends, his clan, are trying to you know get some sort of sense out of him. And I can picture Roland having a very well, I was
lightning bugs, focus.
Chainsaw. What? Yeah. So I could see him pulling that sort of stuff right. off, but I'm struggling with the look, the appearance.
Okay,
I don't know. I don't know. I need to mull that over a little bit more.
Yeah, I think. Look, I mean, a lot of times when we hear these casting things, our initial reaction is what?
Mm.
Heath Ledger is playing who? Then you know sometimes you're pleasantly surprised.
And that
so.
And my reaction to Heath Ledger, which is recorded, I think in episode 18, way back when. That reaction to Heath Ledger is why I never look at anything. I generally never look at anything and go, "Well, that's ridiculous. That's terrible. That's a horrible decision. Everything's going to suck." I don't do that anymore. So that's why I'm looking at McConaughey like, okay, I don't know. I just don't know.
You don't know. I think I'm more concerned with the fact that they're adapting Dark Tower than I am concerned with who they're choosing to do it. Because it feels like it's such a grandiose.
Yeah, and it's so loose with how it's running. I think the best idea that they had, I didn't like the team behind it,
right.
but the idea of movie and then TV series for a stretch, and then that ramps up to a second movie,
right.
and then a TV series, like really encompassing this whole world in a huge amount of material. I was on board with that approach.
Right.
Ron Howard, not so much. So I'm kind of glad that at least that team fizzled. But the idea, I would have liked to have stuck around.
I don't know that it would have worked. I mean, maybe.
It would have been
groundbreaking.
So much story to tell.
Yeah.
And if they were to do a companion TV show, it would serve best on at least, if not an HBO or a premium cable, least a cable that's going to take a chance, like an FX or an AMC or something like that. Definitely not an NBC show, et cetera.
Well, you mentioned Chainsaw somewhere in that talk of Roland's up.
That was completely unintentional, but it must have been in my subconscious.
So we have to go to Ash versus the Evil Dead on Stars. Has already been renewed for a second season.
Yep.
You have not watched this yet, correct?
No, because fuck Stars.
Right. Not available for the cable cutters.
Oh, I'm so pissed about that.
Cord cutters. It's great.
Yeah.
It is so good. And I was really scared that it was not going to be good. And, after I saw the first episode, early, luckily,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, wow, this is amazing. And then I started to hear the backroom chatter of other online reviewers, mm-hmm. which I know I should not pay attention to.
Never.
But it plants that seed.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, oh no. Because part of the problem is Sam Raimi, while he's overseeing the whole thing, he only directed the first episode.
Right.
So you're like, oh no, does it immediately shit the bed after the first episode? After Sam Raimi kind of takes that step back, does it go south? No, it does not.
And apparently it gets better.
It's been great. And they've introduced some characters that are not Deadites. Not that Deadites are not still the main focus as far as the Evil Dead are concerned, but they're starting to introduce like other demons and lesser demons and other people from the Necronomicon, which is genius because it's the Book of the Dead.
I mean,
it's got to be filled with all sorts of mythos. Right?
And it gives there's limitless room for them to go in any number of directions and have any number of villain for him to face off against. So sure.
And it's kept a really healthy balance of, I think, the importance of the character and the importance of where he came from. So it's keeping the suspense and the horror from Evil Dead's 1 and 2. But it's got the campy Ash from Army of Darkness.
Nice.
But he's dialed down like a notch or two.
Right.
So he's not all hail to the king, give me some sugar. Like, he's not quite that far.
Right.
But he's clearly still that character.
He's an older, wiser, stupid Ash.
Older, wiser, and stupid is a good way to put him. And I got to be honest with you, everybody else that's on the show, with the exception of one character who they haven't really had a chance to do much with yet, but the supporting cast is all really strong too. Lucy Lawless, man. First of all, still outstandingly attractive.
Oh, yeah.
And in Amazon, I had the opportunity to meet her in person, and she is gorgeous in person and tall as hell. It's kind of intimidating, not going to lie. But everybody else on the show is really good, and obviously the fans are interested, and it got picked up. So I'm really excited about that.
Congrats, and maybe I'll see it eventually.
Maybe one day.
Not getting into that.
No, not getting into it. Something else. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
No, I just rant on Twitter about it. That's where you find me screaming.
Something else I'm really excited about that's coming, but hasn't started yet, but starts in 2 days, is Jessica Jones.
Yes.
It's Jessica Jones week.
Yes, yes.
I cannot wait.
Trailer looks great.
Trailer looks amazing.
And it looks to keep the same tone of Hell's Kitchen and whatnot that we've established in Daredevil. So I love the Netflix Marvel Universe, man.
Yeah, man. Very
exciting.
And speaking of that overall Netflix Marvel Universe, today they released a teaser for Daredevil. And it was a 15-second teaser. Nobody is in it. It's all scenery shots. Mm-hmm. But it's, it says Daredevil, something like that. Something about Hell's Kitchen. And then it says pick your poison. And it shows the neon sign of Josie's, which is the bar that him and Foggy frequent in season one.
Right, right.
The lights flicker and it pans and new lights flicker. And now it says Luke's, which is Luke Cage's bar.
Interesting.
And Jessica Jones, and we assume in Luke Cage, because that's coming out soon as well.
Tying them threads together.
Just a nice way to continually tie them together and keep them all happening in that same universe. And I cannot wait to see that in a couple days. So super excited for that. And S.H.I.E.L.D. has been really good too. Speaking of Marvel, I'm behind, I think, the most recent episode.
Same with us. I'm enjoying the overall story of S.H.I.E.L.D. I really want them to scrap the relationship drama shit, because it reminds me of Team America. And that goes for the entire Marvel universe, because they've been doing this with the Avengers film and whatnot too.
Yeah.
It's very Team America-like, you know. Lisa, I didn't know you liked Gary. I didn't know you liked Gary either. Well, no. Let's dial that back a little bit and I'll be happy. But the relationship drama in S.H.I.E.L.D. is making me a little fucking nuts.
And just very quickly, I'm not going to dwell on this, but I'm just going to throw this out there, and I'm sure I'm going to get hate for it, but fuck everybody.
You're going to get hate for telling to fuck everybody.
Yeah, but I don't care anymore. I'm past that.
You're already there.
I'm past that at this point. This past weekend, I don't know what channel it was, but some channel was having an Iron Man movie marathon going on. And Iron Man 3 was on.
Right.
And I watched Iron Man 3 again. And at the end of Iron Man 3, when all was said and done, I was like, you know what? I really like Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. It's not a bad movie. Everybody thinks it's a terrible movie. Nah. Oh, it's so bad. It's so cheesy. It's campy. This, that, and every other bitch and moan and that everybody else has. Is it as good as Iron Man 1? No. Probably not. Yeah. But you know what? It's not a bad movie.
Perfectly enjoyable. And any Marvel movie in the MCU, the weakest link – whatever can be described as the weakest film, if that's the way you want to rank things and all that, is still incredibly entertaining and worth watching and enjoyable as a Marvel fan. I there's not a single movie I've been disappointed in.
Nope.
Said, well, that sucked ass.
Exactly.
Not a one.
So whatever. All the haters, get over it. And
fuck everybody.
I have some product stuff I want to hit real quick. And then I think we can go into plugs and other good things.
Sure.
Yeah,
sounds good. What you got?
Very quickly, I want to give a shout out to Anthony Helmer, a gentleman who I've talked about on the show before. He's an artist. Mm-hmm. He did the Black Canary sketch that I purchased from him a couple months ago. For Inktober, he tackled a theme each week, and he did a Harry Potter 1 week. He did the cast of Firefly 1 week.
Brilliant.
He did Disney characters, I think, 1 week. He's a big Disney guy.
Yep.
Huge
yep.
Disney fan. And I was Star Wars his other week? I forget.
That rings a bell. I think he had a lot of Star Wars.
I think it was Star Wars.
Long ago. Yeah.
So naturally, when he announced that he was doing the cast and crew of Serenity, I was like, oh no. Oh, oh,
By the way, you dropped it, but I don't have the sound cue.
I had that momentary panic attack. Like, this is going to be really bad for me. And all of the work was amazing, as always. I think all of his work is fantastic. And I had to purchase Kaylee, and I did. And Kaylee finally showed up, and she's gorgeous in purchase, and it's a fantastic sketch. And if you don't follow him on Instagram, you absolutely you should.
Yeah, he's got impressive stuff. Very, very cool style.
Yeah, and he's a pretty cool guy, and he's got a good sense of humor about stuff. And so definitely check him out. That's my quick plug for him. And thank you, sir, for Kaylee and for the print that you tossed in there as well. It is much appreciated.
Nice.
I want to talk about Funko really quick. Two things. Probably in about 2 weeks' time, I will have the first box in the Smuggler's Bounty, which is the Star Wars Funko box. I did sign up for the year-long subscription of that. I pulled the trigger.
The box of shit.
The box of shit. Yeah, but you know what, though? it's all Funko-related.
Right.
And so, to be quite honest with you, it's all Funko-related. I know that I will at least like everything in there. And anything that I don't like, I'm pretty sure I can flip and probably make back the cost of the subscription. So, at minimum, I knew I wanted the shiny Captain Phasma.
Right.
So I was like, well, all right.
Okay.
All right. Why not? So that'll be hitting soon. You could still subscribe, although I think you've already missed out on the 1 year anniversary bonus, but you can still hit up for that first box. In another Funko line of figures that I don't know why I'm buying them, but I'm not really buying all of them. The Sherlock Funko figures came out.
Ah.
And I'm not buying any of them other than Sherlock. Like, they're kind of boring, to be quite honest with you.
But I mean, you gotta get Watson.
No, I had Watson. I bought him and I returned him. Not because I didn't like him, because it's a guy in a suit. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's
Watson.
You know, I know.
They're buddies.
I know.
You're splitting up the team.
I know, and I'm fine with that.
You're totally pulling a Yoko here.
I do.
Cumberbund, whatever the fuck.
Ingerbert slapped you back. Buttonwalla. But the one I really want out of the line is either not out yet or I haven't found it yet, but it's actually Sherlock in the Deerstalker hat. That kind of toss back to the classic, you know, Basil Rathbone and that era of Sherlock. I will grab that one. But I'm not buying Moriarty. I'm not buying who's his brother?
Mycroft.
Mycroft. I'm not buying Mycroft. And I returned
Sherlock.
I returned
with
Watson.
A skull, Sherlock with a violin, yeah. Irene Adler. Yeah, these are all...
Yeah, they're all... I mean, they're kind of
generic.
They're
all boring, but I mean,
it's... But it's in support of the fandom.
I get what you're saying, that you know, Watson, I can see that, is just a dude in a suit, but it's Watson.
I know, but I really only wanted Sherlock. I'm not going to lie. I don't know. Maybe one day I'll change my mind. I'm sure eventually he'll go on sale for $5 somewhere, and I'll pick him up.
I mean, I don't quite get those figures to begin with, but I mean, they're cute. It's just not my niche.
Well, again, I only buy ones that fit certain criteria. My wife has more Funko Pop than I do. She's got all the Harry Potter ones.
Yep.
And I wasn't going to buy all of the – I wasn't buying the Serenity ones.
Right.
I bought Wash and I bought Jane. That was it. Then I ended up with Mal. Someone bought me Mal. She went out and bought Kaylee. And then it was like, now the only one that I'm missing is fucking Zoe. Zoe.
Strike that completionist nerve. It's all over.
And then I have the Orphan Black ones because Orphan Black.
Right.
And that's it. And I have a couple Doctor Who ones. But I'm not buying, like, all the ridiculous ones. I'm not buying every single Star Wars one that comes out. Star Wars. I have Vader, Darth Maul, and R2-D2, and BB-8. Because I collect Vader, Darth Maul, and astromech droids. Like, I'm trying to focus on... Oh, and I have the Arrow-related ones, because clearly I'm a Green Arrow collector. So I'm trying to focus on the things that fall within my wheelhouse.
You keep saying focus. I don't think it means what you think it means, because all I'm hearing is you've just listed 700 different fandoms that you have figures for.
Yeah, but 10 years ago, I would have had, like, all the Fifth Element ones, all the Pulp Fiction ones, all the Back to the Future ones,
You've scaled down, sir. I got you.
Even though there are a lot of focuses, it is much more focused than it used to be.
Foci. Yeah.
Do you remember like 21B Brookdale Gardens?
Remember that
collection of toys?
I do very well, sir.
I mean, there's probably more toys in this room at this time. But that was a much more diversified collection back then. That was a little bit of everything. So there you go. I think you had one more thing you wanted to hit up, and then I think we have some other plugs.
Well, I just want to tip the hat to a friend of Flick, actually, nice. And he's also a Geek Stuff listener where he can. My buddy Tim. I used to work with Tim way back when, and dynamite human being in general. But Tim is enjoying some really nice success with a feature film that they put together, a feature horror film called Curtain. And this is a very interesting sounding horror film. I helped contribute to their Kickstarter way back when. And I'll give you the official blurb. It's an independent horror feature film shot by a crew of just four people in New York City and the woods of New Jersey. It's a Twilight Zone style story about a burnt out nurse who moves into a new apartment in search of a simpler life. But when her shower curtain begins to disappear through a mysterious portal, she discovers there's no such thing as simple in this world or any other. Very interesting and different sounding sort of synopsis with the horror film. And they have been killing it at film festivals lately. They played at the Film for Fright Fest in London, England, Beyond Fest in L.A., the San Sebastian Horror and Fantasy Film Festival, the Cinema Zombie Fest in Bogota, Colombia. They were at the New York City Horror Film Festival recently, in which they won Best Screenplay and Best Sci-Fi.
Nice.
And then recently at the Buried Alive Festival in Atlanta, Georgia, they've won Best Feature.
That's awesome.
So they're doing great. They're doing absolutely fantastic. So check this out. It's if you're a horror fan, this is my favorite kind of story. Is an independent film. People with shoestring and their own budget, and their own passion, and their own heart.
Sure.
Made something that is blowing up. That's great.
Absolutely.
So really congratulations to these guys. They've got several festivals coming up. Nothing local to us. However, they're going to be at the Paris International Fantastic Film Festival, which is November 18th. Well, tentatively, I'm not sure what the status is over there on that. But
right.
Moving on. A Night of Horror Film Festival in Sydney, Australia. They'll be out there. And then here in the States, they're going to be the Other Worlds Austin Sci-Fi Film Festival, and that's going to be December 3rd. And there's more to come.
Nice.
Cool. So they're not done with their – that's not the end of the film festivals, but that's just what's pending. Sydney, by the way, is December 3rd as well. So, I mean, just – I just really wanted to tip the hat on the air to Tim and the team over there. And we'll, I guess, go ahead and give them shoot them a little plug too, to go pay attention to them over at Curtain the Movie on Twitter, and they're on Facebook as well at Curtain Film. So check them out, man. And if you get a chance or some ability to see the film, you know, see it. I think it'll be worth your time if you're a horror buff.
Very, very cool. Sounds like it's time for us to start.
That's some wrap-up noise happening.
Kicking out some plugs. This Saturday in Kearney, New Jersey, Geek Flea 10 is happening. I will be there. Presumably Big Kev will be there. Are you stopping by, Geek Flea?
At Geek Flea? I will come by, yes. I will
there
be
are there. Empanadas.
I will be there.
And Caesar, if you're listening, I still am accepting contraband empanadas.
Nice.
Much like last time. Just saying, nice. No pressure. But I'm accepting.
But yeah, I want to stop by. Is there room for me at the table to hang out and chill?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. You know how Geek Flea is. It's loosey-goosey hanging out and having fun.
And if you're there and you stop by, maybe I'll throw a little magic in your face, too. I'm always armed with something fun.
There you go. Hit him up, but don't hit him.
Yeah. Oh, no, please don't.
And then also all weekend long, although we're going to be there on Sunday, is a New Jersey Comic Book Expo in Edison, New Jersey.
Nice.
That's going on Saturday and Sunday. Myself, again, PK, and I think BKev are going to be there on Sunday, not at a booth, not at a table, just kind of wandering around. So if you see us, hit us up, say hello. We'd love to meet you. I know there's some people that are going to be there, so hopefully we'll run into some of you.
Mm-hmm. And, you got a nice guest list for that one, too.
They've been upping it. Jim Lee is going to be there, I saw. John Cassidy is going to be there. Ethan Van Sciver. Tito Santana, I saw, is going to be there.
Nice.
But, there's a lot of cosplay people that are going to be there. Some of the friends, our friends over at Team Ashen, Ashley Uncanny, Destiny Nicholson. I'm trying to think of some of the other cosplayers that I know that are going to be there. A bunch. Check them out. NewJerseyComicBookExpo.com for more information. Tickets are still available for both days. You can get a 2-day pass or a 1-day pass. And now we are promotional sponsors of that event. You'll see us in the program.
Ooh.
So come and check us out. Hang out with us on Sunday. And go to Geek Flea on Saturday. And I think that's it. You can find us online, GeekStuffOG, on Twitter and Instagram.
And you find me at KR Marlowe on Twitter, and I think was it K Robert Marlowe on the Instagram.
On the Instagram.
And real quick, I had a Periscope over the weekend.
Oh, nice!
A little mini Geek Stuff Periscope. I was bored as shit and wired from Saturday night's performance.
Nice.
And I was hanging out in my basement, had all the lights going and all that, and I threw up on I didn't throw up on Periscope. I threw on Periscope, and we actually had a nice little chat with our buddy CLE Steven popped in there, and iPad Carrie, and a nice little back and forth chatting about geek shit.
You know what? Both Saturday and Sunday, as long as we can get some reception, we might do some Periscoping from the two events.
I'm for it.
All right, cool. So check us out there as
well. Stay tuned.
And I think that's it, sir.
Yeah.
So
sounds like it for me.
With that, we will say good night, Big Kev, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Roads go ever, ever on, over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, streams that never find the sea. Roads go ever, ever on, under cloud and under star.